You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, it kind of feels like a weekend show, like a Friday show. It's not a Friday show. It's a Wednesday show, but we're off tomorrow for the 4th of July. Then back on Friday. Feels like a bit of a Friday show here, though. So we got a lot to get to today to kind of cover 2 days in one, but we don't want to waste any time in getting out to the Wester hotline here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, joined by our guy, Paul Hamilton. Paul is down at Sabres Development Camp. The team will be on the ice in a little while, and Paul joins me as he has been all week. Paul, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Is Max coming to the 3-on-3?
We would love, you know what? Maybe we can do that tomorrow. That's great, because it is tomorrow and we're off, because I couldn't take him today or yesterday due to this show, right? I mean, like,
When you were saying everybody's off, I go, I wonder if he's going to the 3-on-3.
That'd be great. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Tell us about the 3-on-3. How does it usually get set up? How do they divide it up, or how does it look if people want to go down there tomorrow?
You usually have four teams, but there are fewer players here, so I'm wondering if they'll do it with three. We'll have to see. And it's basically a round-robin tournament. And then after they all play each other, they have a championship game and actually do give out a trophy and have the take a picture at center ice and all that.
That's
neat
cool.
Stuff. So last year was kind of fun because it was the two young goalies, Portillo against Levi. Last year or the year before, I don't remember which one. It doesn't matter. But that really meant, actually, Portillo's team actually won, and both goaltenders were really, really good, you know, in the finals in the 3-on-3. So it was interesting that both the Sabres prospect goalies got their teams through, and I believe Portillo won by a goal.
Sabres will be on the ice today for development camp from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. The 3-on-3 tournament starts tomorrow at 9:15 a.m. Paul, when I go to rookie camp for the Bills, sometimes there's a guy that I say, he's just a bit different. Like, you could tell that he's a better athlete. He does things a little bit differently. They just catch your eye in that way. Now, that's not, of course, in a true NHL or NFL, in my case, game, you know, situation. Has there been anybody like that this week for you where you look and say, yeah, he's just a little bit different, and that's a guy we should probably pay attention to?
Yeah, Helenius, the number one pick, absolutely.
Okay.
Caught my eye. And immediately what caught my eye was he had the puck. He was protecting the puck, and he got knocked down. He was knocked down to his knees. And he continued to be able to protect the puck, get up with the puck, make a play, and it resulted in a goal. And he did it another time later. So, you know, he's very good at protecting pucks. Even if he does get knocked down, he's not afraid to get to the battle. You know, I noticed he's like a puck hound. If he doesn't have the puck, he doesn't understand why he doesn't have the puck, and he goes and finds out why and gets it. So I've noticed that, too, that he's always around the puck, always around the action. I really liked his awareness, you know, coming down, you know, he's coming down the left wing, understanding a guy's coming late. And just, you know, slows the play just a second so he can turn, make a good pass, and catch. It was actually McCarthy, the Clarence Center kid, was coming late on the rush and set him up for a goal coming down the slot with a really good pass. So I was really impressed with that, and even a good shot. I mean, he did a give and go and wound up getting the puck back and put it under the crossbar. But very aware of his teammates. I thought when they were doing 3-on-3, he was excellent in traffic, and just a lot of things to like in what I saw in his game yesterday.
Paul actually spoke with Consa Helenius and Gavin McCarthy, along with others, and we're going to replay some of those interviews for you today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for hanging with me today. Paul Hamilton down at Lecom Harbor Center. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm really interested in hearing you talk about him getting knocked off the puck and him coming back a little bit. Remember last year, the knock on Benson was he was too small. So I looked up their size difference. He is an inch taller and 10 pounds heavier than Benson. Sure, he's bigger. He's not a huge guy, though. So did we make too much about Benson, or should we think about his size? Like, thinking about Benson last year, thinking about Helenius this year. And yes, Helenius is a little bit bigger, but not much bigger. Is there too much made about that, maybe?
Well, in Benson's case, he was one of the guys that competed the most. When we were talking about compete all season long, normally I was not talking about Benson. He was always in it, and same thing.
Yep.
You know, he would go into behind the net, get knocked down, and be able to protect the puck. He wouldn't lose it, even though he got knocked down. So it wasn't a problem for him. And I thought he was another guy who was willing to go to the net. Think of the goals he scored. A lot of them were tip-ins, being around the net. He didn't care if he got knocked down. He would just get back up again and laugh at the guy. You know, he was always coming back for more, always coming back for more. And I saw something similar yesterday in Hellenius, just, you know, coming back for more, being able to protect that puck. I think Hellenius is stockier maybe than Benson, looking at him. And being 18 at 5'10", it wouldn't surprise me if he does eventually wind up 6 foot when he's 21. I remember Tyler Myers, and I can't remember how much he grew. When they drafted him at 18, and he came back for training camp in September, he had grown a lot. I don't remember how many inches, but it was a lot. And it was really, really noticeable.
Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline. Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this. All right, well, we're a couple of days into free agency for the Buffalo Sabres. Again, a couple of more announcements yesterday, but it really doesn't seem like the roster's been overhauled too much other than the back end kind of being lifted up a little bit here. Fans are disappointed, I think, I'd say, Paul, as you know, right? They wanted more here. Do you think that the team is still in the mindset to try and do more than what they have? And I know that it's been challenging to do that. I get that. But do you think that in a perfect world, Kevin Adams would really like to do more than they have, especially with the top six?
Well, I think they have done a lot to the roster, especially with the bottom six and being quite a bit harder to play against. But they didn't finish the job, and I think that's where the disappointment comes, where they didn't get the top six forward. Yes, they did what they needed to do to be harder to play against, and I think they will, and I think that's going to make them a much better team. But, you know, they didn't get that forward. I did a little digging into what we were talking about yesterday with Nietzsche's, and Carolina's to a point now where they're thinking of basically going to arbitration with him. And just living with the one year arbitration ruling and circling back and revisiting it next year. So that might be the route they're going to be taking right now. They, you know, according to reports, they turned down Columbus for the fourth overall pick. So are they over asking? You know, where teams are just like, no, I mean, we're not going to give you the fourth overall pick and our best prospect, you know, for a guy who You might compare him a little bit better than Maxima Finneganoff, that type of player with supreme speed, supreme talent. You know, sometimes he'll wow you, sometimes he won't. Type of a player. That seems to be where Carolina is at right now. They're giving some serious thought to just going to arbitration, living with the 1 year arbitration ruling, and then revisiting it next year is a good possibility.
Paul, the Sabres in the NHL schedule came out yesterday. We know they're starting in Prague. They're going to Munich. How will the team treat this? Like, when will they kind of get acclimated to that? The team itself, how long will they go out for? They come back the following Thursday is their next game. That's the home opener against the LA Kings. Do we know yet, like, how the team is planning to have this Europe trip and what they're doing?
No, because some of the people who might be on it don't even know yet. So, it's you know, they are going to finish training camp there, and you might notice.
Okay.
I think we may have talked about this. They have some preseason games here in Buffalo while they're there, which means that'll base they. I think they would probably take around 25, 26 guys. Then the season starts, and you can only keep like 23. You would have to pretty much on paper send three of them back down to the AHL. I don't think they would just put them on planes and send them back and then, you know, come home. I don't think they would have just their 23-man roster and cut it down that early, I think they'd have a couple of extra guys with them. But then the rest of them would be the guys that would be playing in those preseason games while Buffalo was in Germany and then moving on to go to Prague. So I would imagine they would head to Prague probably a couple of days before that first last preseason game there against the team in Germany. And I said head to Prague, I meant head to Germany, and then move on to Prague after that.
The only move they made yesterday, Paul, was Colton Pullman was signed. This is a defenseman. Anything that we need to know about him? Is this just a guy that's going to be basically between Rochester and Buffalo, or is this someone they're going to count on the big club?
No, it's depth. It's depth. He'll start in Rochester, and if they run into injuries, that would be the only time you would probably see him.
The Sabres have quite a few players who are local products, junior Sabres. Kevin Adams talked about. You spoke with a few of them. Obviously, Patrick Geary was drafted. You know, he's a Hamburg native as well. But what does it say about kind of the state of, you know, hockey here in Western New York, Paul? You're down at development camp. You always get kind of these guys who are little local products. It seems like there's more than normal. But Kevin Adams talked glowingly and very prideful about, you know, the local situation and players. And it seems like there's more than usual.
Yeah, three are draft picks and two are invitees. So that's nice. What gets the five in here. And because the two invitees I hadn't heard of, I was looking it up when they had mentioned yesterday. And of course, McCarthy and Geary played together in the U16 team with the junior Sabres. So McCarthy, was chatting with him yesterday, was extremely happy when he heard Geary wound up being drafted by the Buffalo Sabres since they had been teammates with the junior Sabres. And then, of course, Geary, Buffalo's second-round pick last year, Max Sturbik, he was at Michigan State, and Geary winds up going there, and then Geary gets drafted, so now he has a friend there where now they're both draftees of the Buffalo Sabres. So he has a lot of angles where he can cover. He's got a guy who's been drafted with and a couple of guys he's played with also.
Paul, is there anything that's happened in the league that has kind of caught your attention, whether it's one team either adding players or a team not adding players outside of Buffalo? Maybe what Nashville's done, Ottawa situation, anything that's kind of caught your eye, Detroit, what any team has done that's kind of made you kind of perk up and say, okay, that's interesting.
It was interesting to me that Nashville became a destination. And a lot of the top free agents decided that's where they wanted to go. Now teams are going to have to figure out their salary cap. Some teams made moves where I thought, boy, they're tight on the cap. How are they able to do this? And now they're going to have to, you know, figure out, are guys going to be on long-term IR? Are we going to have to move some people? And that's what Kevin Adams was talking about. When the dust settles a little bit, now some teams are going to have to move some people, and can be the Sabres be in on that? So that's what he meant when he was chatting about that at the podium. All right, let's see where teams are at, who has to do what for their salary cap, and those types of things. But, yeah, the Nashville being the destination, I think, is the thing that surprised me the most.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a great city, but you know, for hockey purposes and them loading up and doing what they've done, they're trying to make a run at it here, I guess, too. From a hockey sense, that's kind of came a little bit surprising that they're going to certainly try to make a run at it here.
No, they certainly are. I mean, that was obvious with what they did, is they went all in. Sometimes when you go all in on free agency, as I said many, many times, it comes back to bite you. Even John Tavares, that was a good signing by the Leafs when they did it, but he's not really John Tavares anymore. He's not bad. He's not a horrible hockey player, but he's not John Tavares at best. You know, so they got maybe one or two years of John Tavares at his best, and then a slight decline started coming. And, you know, that didn't help the Leafs, because when they signed him, they were hoping to be signing the guy who, you know, is going to be top. But, you know, age, you can't slow down age. You know, age is age. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. So I think, you know, does that happen to Stamkos? None of us know. I mean, we'll find out. You know, he certainly has some age on him, and how much longer is he going to be able to play at top speed?
Speaking of the Leafs, there's still the Mitch Marner situation hanging over them. Nothing's really happened there. Maybe something winds up happening with Marner. He's going into the final year of his deal. Tavares also going into the final year of his deal. The Leafs, obviously, Tanev, they went out and signed him. But this is a team that, you know, they're also in transition. Berube comes in. We have a lot of Leafs fans listening, obviously. Just their state and where they are. It seems like that kind of hasn't really... They haven't done a lot compared to what maybe people have thought, considering their situation, Paul. Where do you see the Leafs fitting in this whole thing right now?
Well, with Marner, I mean, he does have no movement. So yep. Is he willing to waive it? You know, what are they going to do with that? That's the one key thing right there. You know, will they do that, or will he do that? Is he willing to do that? Does he want to stay in Toronto? What are the repercussions if he doesn't? You know, do they make life miserable for him? I don't know how all that works. They got to do something with that team as far as, you know, remaking it somewhat. You don't have to do it the whole way. I mean, you don't have to trade everybody, but you are going to have to do something with it. And Marner is the guy that it seems to be the guy, but right now he has not waived. There's no movement.
All right, Paul, are you a fireworks guy?
Yeah, I don't mind fireworks.
Like fireworks?
Lancaster usually puts down a pretty good show, so I sometimes walk down and watch that one.
Do you blow them off, or are you into that?
Oh, no, I don't do that. I'm not that much into it.
Me neither. I've never been a blow-off fireworks guy. There's like... You know these kinds of people, right? There's certain kinds of people like, oh my God, I can't wait. I have this whole, you know, come over to my house. We're going to blow off all these fireworks outside. And then there's the people who just say, hey, I just want to watch a good show, right? That's me. If you do that, or some people kind of really don't care about it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm more than watch a good show. And they have music down there. Usually the nerds are down in the village playing in the village. And, you know, so it's about a mile to walk down to the village. So I just sometimes walk down there and enjoy the day. But I'm going to be
I think they're doing theirs tonight, maybe even. I'm not sure, right? I think they might be having theirs tonight. They always have a good one in Lancaster. Cheektowaga, when I was growing up, had a really good one at Town Park. I don't know if they still do that, but there's always really good ones around. But I think that might be tonight. So, yeah, for sure. Enjoy it.
See if there's tonight.
Yeah, I think it is. Enjoy it. And then, speaking of a show, tomorrow, once again, let's set it up. It's the 3-on-3 tournament tomorrow. It's 9:15 a.m. is when it starts. That's going to be wrapping up development camp. And then what's next on the calendar after that, Paul? Basically, it's the prospects games, I think, that are going to happen. And then we have the training camp.
Yeah, nothing unless they sign somebody. We don't see anybody here until around mid-September.
All right. Well, Paul, enjoy your 4th of July weekend and holiday. We'll catch up.
You
maybe
too.
We'll talk
Take
Friday.
Take care.
Okay. All right, thank you. That is Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. They're getting ready for practice. Paul needs to scoot out over there. And Paul spoke with several people, Adam Mayer, Gavin McCarthy, Konstantelis, Patrick Geary, Sturbach as well, teammate of his. So we have all of that. We're going to play some of that for you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Also, John Scott, WGRZ TV2 Channel 2 Sports Director, is going to join me at the top of the hour. We'll talk a little bit about everything. The Sabres, moves, non-moves, the Bills offseason, and even some baseball. Because, I mean, he's a big Guardians guy, and my Yankees are tanky. The Yankees are stanky right now is what they are. They're just not playing well at all and got beat last night. Again, they were down 5-0 to the Reds. I was at the Bisons game last night trying to keep track of the Yankees game on my phone. It was 5-0. I'm like, are you kidding me? Then they made it 5-4. And then on the way home, they, you know, I'm like, okay, a couple innings here to tie it up. Did not work out. So it's that time of year, too, to start worrying about the Yankees and that hot start and basically meaning nothing here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can join me as well. 803-0550. Josh, are you a fireworks guy? Which category do you fall in?
I'm a big fireworks
guy. Oh, my God, I can't wait to blow things up. Or, I just want to watch the show, or you don't care at all.
I'm like in the middle. I don't mind doing it myself, but I also like when it's like a professional thing or someone else is just doing it. Like my family, we used to do a big party when I was much younger. Like it was like when all the cousins were younger and like we were all kids. So like the whole family would get together. We'd all get to see each other and everything. There was one time it was these fireworks that are like they like you light them and they spin like helicopters and they take off. The one time it took off and it came back at the group.
Oh boy.
So I think that if I remember correctly, that might have been the last party actually. So that might have been part of the reason why. But like I said, we all grew up, so it got a little more difficult to get everyone together and things like that with school and sports and college and work and all that. So but no, I love watching, like driving around and watching them and stuff like that too. Like driving down the throughway on 4th of July.
Yeah, yeah.
You just see fireworks for miles, and that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, for sure. I live in the city here, and we you never know where they're coming from, right? You always have. Sometimes it's at the end of one and the one end of my street. Sometimes it's at the other end of the street. You don't know who's going to have them here necessarily. I could walk down a few places, I guess, to kind of see the show a little bit better. A lot of times, walk down by the where the Buffalo River is, and you can kind of look across and see different things happening if you look down towards the Peace Bridge or the other way. Sometimes we'll drive out to people's houses, and you know they'll have parties. So yeah, there's all different ways to consume it. I do remember though, growing up, for me as a Cheektowaga resident, we would go to Town Park all the time. That would be the big one. Go to Town Park and watch the fireworks from there. So it's a cool night tonight, tomorrow. I know a lot of places are doing fireworks tonight, but whatever you're doing, make sure you stay safe out there if you're going to be participating one way or the other here July 4th. So we have no shows tomorrow here, local shows. We'll be airing some national shows tomorrow. So no Jeremy and Joe in the morning, no Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But we'll be back on Friday, and we'll talk about the 3-on-3 tournament. Actually, that's a good idea. I think I want to go down to the 3-on-3 tournament tomorrow. It is July 4th, but people are off. I don't have to do this show. Every year, I try to take Max down to see the prospects. Haven't been able to do that this year because of this show, but I think that's a good idea. We should do that. In the meantime, what we're going to do today is we're going to have, like I said, John Scott come up at 11, and I want to replay some of the interviews that Paul has done and had with him, some of the prospects that he's been catching up with, including Gavin McCarthy and Consta Helenis, Patrick Geary, local product. Paul has caught up with them, in various forms throughout the week. So we'll make sure we do that. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Are you, Josh, are you going to head down tomorrow? Is that something you could do to fit in your schedule tomorrow while you're off? Maybe go see the 3-on-3?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think I went a couple years ago when Savoy was first here. So
yep,
that was like the big draw that year. But I think I'm going to check it out this year, too. I'm interested to see how Helenis interacts with the rest. Obviously, it's all people his age group, so it's not really like the NHL skill level. But from what Paul has said about him, he sounds pretty good so far. So I'd like to see that in person before, training camp and stuff like that. I think it'd be interesting.
Me too. I do think it's interesting. Remember Benson when he came last year? He caught your eye right away. And then in preseason, you're like, you can't. Remember preseason was when he really shined, and we're all like, you cannot keep this kid down. Remember that
right.
He was definitely flashing in preseason, and that's when it really grew to, okay, like this kid's got to make the team, and he did. Now, I don't know if there's a spot for Helenis, considering what their prospect pool already looks like, considering the fact that people said, look, Savoy, Kulik, if these guys aren't even going to be on the team, if they are on the team, maybe something went wrong this offseason because you're trying to improve your top six with a little more veteran presence and skill. So Helenis, I don't even know where he fits into that. I would not bet that Helenis makes this team. But let's remember, Zach Benson really showed out last year in preseason and earned a spot on the big club. And when it was all said and done, he did. So prospects camp today, development camp, I should say, going down at Harbor Center. If you want to catch him on the ice today, you could do that starting in 35 minutes from now. They're on the ice from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then tomorrow, it's the 3-on-3 tournament that begins at 9:15 a.m. When we come back, we're going to hear Paul catch up with Patrick Geary and Consta Helenis. We'll do both of those when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul caught up with the local product, the native of Hamburg, Patrick Geary, who happens to be related to our Nate Geary. And of course, the Sabres first-round pick, Consta Helenis. We'll play those for you and hear what they had to say next up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Somebody, let me get the person here so I can give them credit for getting connected with us, asked me how much it costs to go to Sabres Development Camp. So thank you, Jam on X on Twitter. Jam, it is free and open to the public. The Prospect Tournament. Maybe he means the Prospect Tournament. I think the one, if you mean tomorrow, that's free and open to the public. Let me get the other one for you as far as when they play against Pittsburgh and Detroit and they have that thing going on, but free and open to the public for as far as today, development camp, tomorrow, the 3-on-3. But thank you, Jam, for that, asking that. And speaking of development camp, right now, we're going to let you hear what Paul Hamilton and Patrick Geary, I should say, said to Paul Hamilton as they caught up earlier this week, Patrick Geary, the Hamburg native, drafted by the Buffalo Sabres.
Fortunate enough, my brother's getting married, so the bridal shower was the same day. So I had aunts at the bridal shower. My mom was there, my sister was there, and then kind of just chilling on the couch and just saw my name pop up. Obviously super excited and very grateful. Yeah, I was kind of, there's a few teams that I was definitely looking at, and I knew it was going to be later rounds, and I saw Buffalo only had one pick in the sixth round, and so I was kind of hoping for it. I kind of looked down before a name went up, just so I wasn't looking at it directly, and then picked my head up and saw my name, so I was very happy.
So when you arrived at Michigan State this past season, what was your mindset as you tried to carve out a role on, that's a pretty deep blue line, you guys have a few talented guys, draft picks, and how do you feel like you just got better at the season went along?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you go in there, you see Lefschnoff coming in, Strebach. I mean, we were stacked on the D. And so I kind of just went in there day by day. I mean, the coaches are great there. They help you a lot. They have a plan for you every day. And I kind of just followed it. I trusted them a lot. I trust them with everything now. And, yeah, they carved out a plan. I stuck with it. I mean, I didn't go well the first month. I was out of the lineup. But got the opportunity. I kind of just stuck with it and ran with it.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I was a little wild when I was young on the back end, and honestly, I went to Waterloo in the USHL. I had a great coach, Matt Smaby, there, and he was a defenseman as well, so he kind of taught me the game, and it's a development league. They care about you. They really want you to develop, and so I went there. I grew my game each day, and then going into Michigan State, it's the same thing. Great. D. Mike works with the D. He's unbelievable. And of course, you got Knighty, one of the smartest coaches I've ever been around. So, yeah, they kind of just grow your game. They tell you what you need to do, and if you follow it, it works out for sure. Yeah, he's been great. I mean, I lived right next to him all year, so I got to know him pretty well. But, yeah, he's so smart. I mean, he's a young kid, but he's very mature for his age. And, yeah, I mean, he kind of sees the ice a little bit different. He's a little more offensive than I am, so he helps him with that and just – we just kind of talk, pick each other's brain and out of the ice and stuff. So he's been great for me.
How many languages do you try to speak?
Well, he tells me he knows five. So, but I've only heard English. So,
what are your earliest Sabres memories?
Honestly, just growing up. I mean, coming down here, and we were very fortunate for the Junior Sabres to come around, and just going to the games. I mean, my dad took me, my sister, my brother is 12 years older than me, so. He kind of helped me with that. But, yeah, just coming to these games, I mean, sold out barn. I mean, what's a better place to be? Play hockey in Buffalo. There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Do you have to tell him a lot about Buffalo?
A little bit. I mean, I didn't really talk to him until he got to school. Obviously, he came to camp before that. But, yeah, I mean, I told him a few restaurants about the wings and stuff, so the usual.
What kind of teammate is Artie?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I sat next to him all year. So, I mean, he's unbelievable, his maturity. And, I mean, he's coming from a different country. His culture shock for him was crazy. And, yeah, he's an unbelievable player, very mature. And, yeah, he helped me a lot, actually. He was very good for me, even though the English wasn't great. He showed me on the board.
Was it better for you to be a little bit older, going to college to settle in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you go into some guys that go into true freshman. I mean, I obviously just went with what Michigan State said. They said take another year in the USHL. Don't come in right away. And I trusted that. Yeah, you playing against older guys. I mean, we had a 98 on our team. So we had some old guys, and you play against old guys all year long. So, yeah, the older you are, I think the more better you are going into college. Oh, yeah. Well, we Canisius came to us, so once I saw that, I was like, oh, do we go to them? So, yeah, it'll be fun here. I can't wait to come back.
Were there partners in
banks
or anything
on the games? No. I mean, a few times in practice, so, I mean, whatever. But, no, never in games.
You mentioned, you know, you set out some games early. Just, like, when you look at it, what settled you down and helped you earn a spot?
Yeah, I mean... we just had another defenseman go down, and it was kind of we went into the first Big Ten weekend, which was Ohio State, and they kind of told me and this other kid, they're like, hey, you guys are going to fight for the spot while the other kid's hurt. And I knew that was my time to kind of just take over my game and kind of take it up another level, because you have to in the Big Ten and every night in college, to be honest.
Story of the goal.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. If you, I look back and I don't kind of believe that I did it. I don't really score those big goals usually. So, I mean, yeah, it was just a play by. I was out there at the senior line. They're unbelievable, and they make the right plays all the time. And I just got lucky to have the puck at the top and just kind of just shot it. It just went in. So kind of crazy.
See it or not?
I saw it last second, so I knew I scored it. But yeah, last second.
What's it been like to be part of like that revival?
Yeah, I mean, all credit to the coaching staff for sure. But, yeah, you kind of hear the stories from the seniors last year of how it was their freshman, sophomore year, and doesn't sound fun, I can tell you that, losing. So, yeah, I mean, it's been unbelievable to be a part of it and see the team grow. And, I mean, national championship is kind of what we're going for now.
That is Patrick Geary. He is a Hamburg native. He was drafted by the Buffalo Sabres, played at Michigan State. His teammate, also at Sabres development camp, Max Sturbach. Our Paul Hamilton caught up with Max as well.
First year at Michigan State, like you last year, and now you've had the 1 year under your belt. What was that like?
It was good. It was a good experience. I can say it was a bit different than the USHL with bigger competition. Obviously, we play in Big Ten, and it's known for its speed and scale and the guys being very, very good. So it was hard in the start, but I think I got adjusted pretty good, and it was a good year for me.
What was your reaction when you heard Patrick Geary was drafted by the Sabres?
I was eating lunch. I don't even know what I was having, like a burrito or something. And then I look at TV, they had it. They had the draft on. I was like, oh, Patrick Geary. So I was like, what just happened? And then I just texted him, like, congrats. Like, I'm very pumped. And, of course, he's from Buffalo. So I guess for him it's a pretty big deal, like, for his family. So very good news for him.
What do you appreciate about his game and just the progress that he made while playing with you guys this season?
Yeah, he's made, I think, the biggest progress amongst all the players at Michigan State. I mean, to start, he was getting scratched. I don't even know how many games, like 6 or 8 games. He didn't even play. And then one game, one of our players got injured, and then he had to hop in. And right away, he kind of established that his physical presence is very good defensively. He's kind of, if you need to shut down someone or you need that, you know, defensive skills, you put him on the ice, and then that's what he provides for us.
Freshman season, what allowed you to make an impact
and echo college
hockey so quickly?
I think a lot of it has to do with our coaching staff, Adam Nettingale, and they're doing a very good job with everybody, with the way we practice, and it's given me a lot of confidence when we practice, and I can see that turn into games more and more, and I think that's what's making an impact.
What's your plan for
You know, I haven't really thought about it that deep just yet. So right now, I'm just looking for another good season at Michigan State, and then I guess we'll see what happens at the end of the season. I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but yeah, I guess I'll just see.
Have the Sabres given you any kind of like calendar for what they would like to see, or are they just like go play and do well?
Yeah, pretty much go play and do well. I've talked to them throughout the season, and the feedback was usually very good. So I think they're happy with the way I play, and I'm also happy with the way I play. So we'll see another big season for me and for Michigan State, and whatever happens.
What kind of teammate and player was Artie?
Artie? Good. Teammate, I used to have like 3 or 4 classes with him, or at least 2. I'm not sure anymore. But at the start, he was kind of shy. His English wasn't the greatest, but throughout the season, he has progressed as a hockey player, as a
as a person too, and obviously on the ice he was very good. I mean, got drafted second overall. I think that says a lot about him, and he was a very, very good player for us.
What impressed you the most that his pick second overall, what do you like about being that level player?
I think he's just a very big dude. He's a monster on the ice. Sometimes when we practice and then we have some drills where we play physical and stuff like that, I can't even, you know, do anything with him. He's that strong on the ice and on his skates. So I think that's his biggest thing. But then he's also very explosive on the ice. His stride is unreal, the way he skates, and his vision is also very good. So he's kind of an all-round player. He can do it all.
The guy helping him out most with learning English?
A little bit. I think everyone contributed. I think he doesn't really, or his English isn't the best, but at the same time he still tries to socialize and somehow talk to guys, so I think that just makes him better.
What did you plan for the summer as far as what kind of things you're going to be trying to get better at? What are your goals for the summer?
I think just more all-around game. I think this year I was more of a shutdown also, a defenseman. I was kind of stay at home, but I think I have two-way abilities in me. So I think just trying to produce more and be a more all-around player.
How much have you just enjoyed the program revival?
At Michigan State?
Yeah,
it's good. I personally haven't been at school when it wasn't in the greatest spot, but I've heard stories from our seniors and everyone, and they're saying that it wasn't, you know, the best program when it came to playing games. They're not winning a lot, but now it's good to see that everyone at school is kind of acknowledging us, the way we play, and hockey's fun again at Michigan State. So it's been very good to be part of that process.
Yeah.
We played Matteo Costantini here, so I chirp him every now and then. But it was a hard game against Western Michigan. We were obviously down. I think it was 4-2. And then we somehow turned it around, and then unfortunately against Michigan, you know, we've beaten them, I think, four times or five times during the season, and then the last game we just couldn't do it somehow, so it was a little painful, but it's hockey.
That is Max Sturbach, Michigan State Sabres prospect. Patrick Geary before that, Michigan State Sabres prospect. We do have Consahelinus. We were going to play him for you, but to be quite honest with you, it's just his answers were short, and it's probably not going to translate as well on the radio, so we're going to leave that one for now. But later on, Adam Mayer actually was another player, I used to be a player for the Sabres, and I said caught up with our Paul Hamilton. Paul was one of several in the media room, by the way, when these guys talk. So we'll play Adam Mayer for you a little bit later as well, but just wanted to make sure you know we're not going to give you Consahelinus. It just it was a bit of a shorter interview, and he didn't really give much there, and he's, you know, just got here, and I guess his English is a little bit broken. So instead of doing that, we'll give you Adam Mayer a little bit later. Gavin McCarthy also, who's from Buffalo, was somebody who was talked to. So we'll have all that for you ready to go. In the meantime, John Scott's going to join me at 11 a.m. All right, which fireworks person are you? I got a poll up I want to ask you. I want to put it out, the WGR, the Extra Point Show, WGR, Extra Point WGR on Twitter. We'll talk about that. We'll come back. Also, the schedule is out for the Sabres. I did some research. It's as opposed to other years, I'm very disappointed in something with the Sabres schedule as it relates to Buffalo and sports. And I'll tell you about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, so the NHL schedule came out yesterday, and pretty much every year, the first thing I look at is, it might be the home opener, which is October 10th this year, Thursday, but really one of the first things I look at is, are there any dates which coincide with the Bills and Sabres in the same city on the same weekend? It could happen. It's rare where they're literally on the road in the same city in the same weekend. It does happen. it, you know, last year was close to it when they were in Philadelphia, the Bills, and the Sabres played in New Jersey. Like, it was literally like a hour ride, right? Not a long ride at all, even though it wasn't the exact same city. It can happen. But home weekends, too, like Sabres at home on a Saturday night, Bills at home on a Sunday is a great weekend for out-of-towners. I know that because I used to live out of town. And you'd try to match up those weekends and say, look, it, come up for a weekend, go to a Sabres game on Saturday night, go to a Bills game on Sunday. It's a great road trip for, you know, if we want to come in and see your friends, hang out with your friends. You can kind of hit both, right, while you're doing it. There are zero of those this year. Zero. No back-to-back days of Sabres, Bills, home games. Now, that said, there are three or four, actually, even. I think there's three. One, two, three. It might be a fourth. I know there's three where there's a Friday night Sabres home game and then a Sunday Bills game. Or maybe even like, it spans over 2 days. I have to go look at it, how it worked out. Maybe there's a Monday night game or something like that. But either way, you got the weekend the Bills play the San Francisco 49ers. They all occur in a 3-4 week time period. November 29th and then December 1st. December 20th and 22nd, and December 27th and 29th. So if you want to do it, you still can. You just got to get here on a Friday, go to a Sabres game on Friday night, and then go to a Bills game on a Sunday. In the case of the one, it's a Sunday night game against the San Francisco 49ers. But I was highly disappointed that happened, that there are no, you know, back-to-back nights or days of Sabres home and Bills home. Typically, there are several of those in a year. But like I said, you can still make a weekend work. It's not a big deal like that. Now, also, the other thing I found, doing some research on the schedule, a couple of things that came up. This actually happens a little more often maybe than once, but this year it's only happening once, where they both play at the same time, literally at the same time. Sunday, December 15th is the one time it happens this year. The Bills are at the Lions on Sunday, December 15th for a 4:25 p.m. I think that's a national window game for, you know, CBS or Fox, whoever has that game. The Sabres are at the Leafs at 5 o'clock. So the Bills kick off at 4:25. Sabres puck drops at 5 o'clock in Toronto at the exact same time. So you'll usually get a few of those a year, one time this year. Now, I'm not counting playoffs, of course. We don't know those schedules. They also do play one other game on the same day, but not the same time. It should be done. The Bills are home against the Jets on December 29th at 1 p.m. And the Sabres are in St. Louis later that night at 6 p.m. So that'd be a nice kind of watch them beat the Jets, hopefully, and then go home and watch them beat the Blues. I mean, I'm hoping, right? Optimistic here. At least watch the games. Watch the game against the Blues later that night at 6 p.m. So those are the things that I look at in the schedule. And like I said, no Saturday, Sunday Sabres-Bills. No Sunday, Monday Sabres-Bills home. But you do have some Friday Sabres home Sunday Bills. So check it out. The Bills, the Sabres schedule, we posted about it at WGR550.com. And of course, you can go to Sabres.com as well. When we come back, John Scott, WGRZ TV2 sports director, joins me. We'll talk about the moves or lack of moves from the Buffalo Sabres over this week, the draft. Also, Bills training camp getting ramped up here in a couple of weeks. And we'll dabble in a little bit of baseball talk as well. Whatever's on the table here, we'll get with John Scott coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, so the NHL schedule came out yesterday, and pretty much every year, the first thing I look at is, it might be the home opener, which is October 10th this year, Thursday, but really one of the first things I look at is, are there any dates which coincide with the Bills and Sabres in the same city on the same weekend? It could happen. It's rare where they're literally on the road in the same city in the same weekend. It does happen. Last year was close to it when they were in Philadelphia, the Bills, and the Sabres played in New Jersey. Like, it was literally like a hour ride, right? Not a long ride at all, even though it wasn't the exact same city. It can happen. But home weekends, too, like Sabres at home on a Saturday night, Bills at home on a Sunday, is a great weekend for out-of-towners. I know that because I used to live out of town. And you try to match up those weekends and say, look, it, come up for a weekend, go to a Sabres game on Saturday night, go to a Bills game on Sunday. It's a great road trip for, you know, if we want to come in and see your friends, hang out with your friends. You can kind of hit both, right, while you're doing it. There are zero of those this year. Zero. No back-to-back days of Sabres, Bills, home games. Now, that said, there are three, or four actually, even. I think there's three. One, two, three. It might be a fourth. I know there's three where there's a Friday night Sabres home game and then a Sunday Bills game. Or maybe even like, it spans over 2 days. I have to go look at it, how it worked out. Maybe there's a Monday night game or something like that. But either way, you got the weekend the Bills play the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, they all occur in a 3-4 week time period. November 29th and then December 1st, December 20th and 22nd, and December 27th and 29th. So if you want to do it, you still can. You just got to get here on a Friday, go to a Sabres game on Friday night, and then go to a Bills game on a Sunday. In the case of the one, it's a Sunday night game against the San Francisco 49ers. But I was highly disappointed that that happened, that there are no back-to-back nights or days of Sabres home and Bills home. Typically, there are several of those in a year. But like I said, you can still make a weekend work. It's not a big deal like that. Now, also, the other thing I found, doing some research on the schedule, a couple things that came up. This actually happens a little more often maybe than once, but this year it's only happening once, where they both play at the same time, literally at the same time. Sunday, December 15th is the one time it happens this year. The Bills are at the Lions on Sunday, December 15th for a 4:25 p.m. I think that's a national window game for, you know, CBS or Fox, whoever has that game. The Sabres are at the Leafs at 5 o'clock, so the Bills kick off at 4:25. Sabres puck drops at 5 o'clock in Toronto at the exact same time. So you'll usually get a few of those a year, one time this year. Now, I'm not counting playoffs, of course. We don't know those schedules. They also do play one other game on the same day, but not the same time. It should be done. The Bills are home against the Jets on December 29th at 1 p.m., and the Sabres are in St. Louis later that night at 6 p.m., so that'd be a nice... Okay, watch them beat the Jets, hopefully, and then go home and watch them beat the Blues. I mean, I'm hoping, right? Optimistic here. At least watch the games. Watch the game against the Blues later that night at 6 p.m. So those are the things that I look at in the schedule. And like I said, no Saturday, Sunday Sabres-Bills. No Sunday, Monday Sabres-Bills home. But you do have some Friday Sabres home Sunday-Bills. So check it out. The Sabres schedule, we posted about it at WGR550.com, and of course you can go to Sabres.com as well. When we come back, John Scott, WGRZ TV2 sports director, joins me. We'll talk about the moves or lack of moves from the Buffalo Sabres over this week, the draft. Also, Bills training camp getting ramped up here in a couple of weeks, and we'll dabble in a little bit of baseball talk as well. Whatever's on the table here, we'll get with John Scott coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.